The U.S. economy is growing at less than 3% a year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, this morning's figures on economic growth are disappointing and may be the best we'll get for a while. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 38 points at 12,107. The Nasdaq up 0.8%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.6%. The Wisconsin State Assembly passed that anti-union measure early this morning. The bill now goes to the state Senate, but Senate Democrats remain out of state to prevent a vote. Now let's get to this morning's numbers on economic growth. The government said the U.S. economy only grew at a rate of 2.8% last quarter after originally reporting it grew at 3.2%. Bruce McCain is chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank. He's with us live now from Cleveland. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
So 2.8%, despite all the help from the Fed and from the lingering effects of the stimulus package, is this the best we can do?
We think it is quite possible that we don't see a lot stronger growth as the sluggish recovery we've seen so far continues. Even worse, we're somewhat concerned that with the possibility of sharply rising energy prices, that will complicate household budgets and wear on consumer confidence, so personal consumption may not remain as strong as it was in the fourth quarter. And that even worse, some of the rising interest rates we've seen in China, the political and economic turmoil in other emerging markets around the world may also limit U.S. export growth going forward in a way that will make it hard for exports to drive business spending here the way they have over the course of the last year or so.
And Bruce, does this number, this disappointing number, change the debate at all in Washington about cutting spending and perhaps at the Fed, which is facing criticism for its stimulative efforts?
Well, it certainly fuels the argument that the Fed's made that we have to focus on the slow growth. But to this point, they've had the luxury of focusing slowly on the slow growth we've seen within the economy. As you see rising energy prices, increasingly they may be forced to deal with the inflationary side of their mandate. And particularly for companies that have been hard-pressed by rising commodity prices and input prices,
right,
you may start to see more sharply rising costs in business. And ultimately, I think the Fed may find they have more of a stagflationary problem that they have to consider than simply the problem of slow growth.
Bruce McCain, chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank. Well, voters in Ireland go to the polls today to choose a new government. And as Christopher Worth reports, the results of the vote could reopen questions about the country's bailout.
Ireland's faltering economy has dominated the campaign trail and political ads.
A country in crisis. Average people paying the price.
Ben Tonra is a political scientist at University College Dublin who's been following the election closely.
I think the Irish public, first of all, is frightened.
Frightened, he says, by a growing sense that Ireland is no longer fully in control of its own economic affairs after being bailed out by the rest of Europe.
We have literally the EU and the IMF looking over our shoulders. Really, it's a cause of national humiliation.
Two political parties, long in opposition, say it's time to reclaim Ireland's pride and independence. The parties Fine Gael and Labour are thought likely to form the next government.
Both have said very, very clearly that the deal that was negotiated by the previous Irish government has to be renegotiated.
The parties also say they want other European countries to share the burden of Ireland's growing debt, which is skyrocketing because the Irish government has guaranteed the hundreds of billions of dollars poured into the country's failing banks.
It's the amount of debt that could crush this country beyond repair.
Peter Matthews is a candidate for Fine Gael in Dublin. He says the money used to prop up Ireland's financial system is also preventing losses at other European banks that lent irresponsibly to banks in Ireland. But as it stands, Matthews says, Irish taxpayers are footing the entire bill for a problem they didn't create.
Therefore, there's no moral reason why they should be forced to take the responsibility of repaying that debt.
His party says if it's elected, it will try to restructure that debt by forcing investors in the big banks to take their losses, a move the European countries that bailed out Ireland are adamantly opposed to. They fear it could set a precedent for a string of bank defaults across Europe. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
CBS has canceled the most popular sitcom on TV until further notice. The network says actor Charlie Sheen's latest outburst means it has to stop production of Two and a Half Men for the rest of its current season. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
CBS canceled the season after this bizarre rant from Charlie Sheen on the Alex Jones radio show.
I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write.
The show is the top-rated sitcom on TV right now. Other networks will probably try to capitalize on the hole in CBS's Monday night lineup. But Porter Bibb at MediaTek Capital Partners says try is the operative verb here.
Sure, the Charlie Sheen episode is going to leave a small gap, but I don't believe that there's going to be much room for anybody else to slip in between the hit shows that CBS is broadcasting today.
CBS makes about $1 million in bottom-line profits from each episode of Two and a Half Men, so it's not likely to let the show go gently into that good night. Bibb expects the network will replace Sheen next season. Viewers might notice, he says, but he doesn't expect they'll mind much. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally to San Francisco, where snow is in the forecast today, and it's only snowed there three times in the last 120 years. We know California is a state that's in a lot of budget trouble, so here's an idea. Skiing on Lombard Street. They can use the city's trolleys as ski lifts. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You've been to a movie lately? Have you noticed something missing in the trailers?
I really think the voiceover became almost a parody of itself, where it's just so easy to spot it and get distracted by it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Voiceovers as a thing of the past. We'll have that, today's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.